I have not gone mad. Guess what? If you hadn't guessed, it's the podcast's first birthday. Oh, how exciting is that? It's mental. It is absolutely mental. A year. I've been here a year talking to you. Oh, it's been the best year. It's been the best year. There have been 15,000 downloads. 15,000 times you guys have listened to this. Not each, obviously, but 15,000 downloads. 89 countries. So nearly 2,000 cities in 89 countries across the world. How mad is that? It's just insane. It's just insane. It's so exciting, though. What can I tell you about it? I feel like I should give some kind of acceptance speech, some kind of award speech or something. By far the most listened to, by far the most popular, was the episode on why it's not your fault that you're a serial dieter. That was right at the very beginning, and it still gets loads of listens. So if you haven't listened to all the episodes, go and listen to it, because it's quite important. Actually, you'll see why. It's not your fault that you've spent years dieting. It's not your fault that your relationship with food is not where you want it to be. Go and have a listen. It's right at the beginning. It's just been amazing. It's been such a good year. It's been so much fun. I love it because I get to explain things to you in person. I get to talk to you. You can't do that really when you write a blog post or you write a social media post. And as much as I like doing those things, I really like explaining things properly. So I really like it for that. I really love getting to hear from you, because I get lots of messages, I get lots of emails, I get lots of social media private messages telling me how things have changed for you, how much you enjoy the podcast, how much it makes things make sense for you. And that's amazing, because that's why I'm doing this. So that's awesome. So I love hearing from you. I love the emails. I love the comments. I love the personal messages. I love hearing your progress. I get a little bit of a buzz every time somebody new finds the podcast and I get a message that says, hi, I've just found you. And then, you know, whatever they want to say to me. I love it. So just know that I love doing this. And it's all for you, but you give a lot back to me. That's soppy, isn't it? But you do. I get as much enjoyment out of this as you get benefit from it. So what a team we are, eh? What a team. But thanks for listening. Here's to the next year, hey. By the way, did you like the intro? I thought a little bit something different was in order this week. I sing that song to everybody whose birthday it is that I come across. I cannot help it. If I speak to them on their birthday, I sing that song to them. My family get it every single year. So you got it too, because it's the podcast's birthday. But happy birthday to you. Yeah, I'll stop. You don't need that in your life. You had the real thing. What else has happened? How was Easter? How was Easter for you? Was it good? It was okay here. It was quiet. Not much went on really. Didn't have that much chocolate in the house this year. But I was also not bothered that there was not much chocolate in the house. So in years gone by, Easter would be quite an exciting time because it meant that I got lots of chocolate, and it's kind of that time of year when you've got permission to eat that chocolate, isn't it? But this year I didn't really have much chocolate, and it was fine because it wasn't the focus of Easter for me. It was just nice to have some time with family being at home because work holidays and college is broken up and things like that. So it was just nice. It was just nice to have some quiet time. And oh, that makes me sound like an old woman, doesn't it? I don't mean, you know, we all sat here in silence, but it's nice to have some different downtime, isn't it? It didn't have to be all about the chocolate. And that's the nice thing about intuitive eating for me, is that these things don't hold all this power over me anymore. So yeah, really nice here. Hope you had a good one. I hope it wasn't too stressful with all the chocolate and the food and things. Hope you found your way through that okay. Let me tell you the update in the cat diaries too. All things have gone bad since last time I spoke to you. Oh, she's a little madam. So let me tell you what's happened. My cat is now confined to a crate 24 hours a day for at least 3 weeks. As if she didn't make life hard enough for herself, now she's confined, permanently confined, because, you're not going to believe this, but let me tell you the story anyway. We got up one morning and there was her cast in the pen that she was being kept in overnight. That's right, just her cast. There was no sign of the cat. So what she'd done in the night is removed her cast from her leg. It's funny now. I can laugh now, but it wasn't funny at the time. She'd got her cast off, tunneled her way through the material that was making up this pen that she slept in, and then got out the house as well. And she'd gone. Absolutely gone. Disappearing act gone. Houdini, my cat is now named. She'd gone and she came back at 3 o'clock the next afternoon looking very sorry for herself. So we took an emergency trip to the vets. Off we went. The receptionist laughed a little as I walked in and booked her in. And she was like, oh, I've heard all about you. So needless to say, another x-ray, more sedation, some more painkillers and things later. She is now without a cast because obviously it was bothering her so much. But now she has to be confined because she needs to be on total rest. Oh, why does she do it to herself? It could have all been over by now. But yeah, there you go. There's the latest update. Bet you weren't counting on this when you subscribed to this podcast, were you, hey? Weren't counting on these dramas happening. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about why you came here to listen in the first place, because I know it wasn't just for the cat stories. I'm going to answer a question that I got this week. I get lots of questions in the Facebook group, which is great. Most of it gets answered there. That's awesome. I also get questions in our group coaching membership. The people who come along to that, I get lots of questions from them, which is awesome. That's what they're there for. That's what being a part of the group coaching is all about. And I like to answer all these questions, but I thought this one was actually quite useful for everybody to hear. Hence, I'm answering it on the podcast. The question was, does anybody have any tips on getting rid of the rule around not eating after a certain time of night? So that's a belief that lots of us have, isn't it? We think that we can't eat after a certain time of day. Now, for people who aren't on horrible shift patterns and things like that with work, we quite often will eat at set times a day and we might snack in the evening, we might not. If we don't, it can be because we have this belief that we can't eat after about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. It's something we're ingrained to believe. We are told that it's better for our gut health. It's going to make you put on weight if you don't eat in the evening. You will sleep better if you don't eat in the evening. These kind of things. And actually, these things are not all true. So let me explain. Let me start from the beginning, actually. When you stop yourself eating after a certain time of day, what you are essentially doing is intermittent fasting. Did you realize that? You are putting yourself on another diet, essentially. You are saying, I can eat within these hours of the day, and then when this time of day hits, I'm going to stop eating and not eat again until tomorrow. That's essentially what you're telling yourself. So straight away there, you can see you've got food rules, and you've got another diet. Anything that says when you can or cannot eat a food is a food rule. This is a no-no. This is a big no-no in intuitive eating, isn't it? This is what we do. We get rid of these food rules. And I like that the person who's asked this question is clearly trying to work through that and get rid of that rule, which is brilliant. But for those of you listening who aren't aware that you're in that position, just have a little think. it is a rule. It's something you've put in place to restrict when you can eat or how much you can eat. So you're essentially intermittent fasting. If you've listened to this podcast for long enough, you will know that I quite often talk about the binge restrict cycle or the binge restrict pendulum. And that is when you restrict something really heavily, it's got to swing back the other way and you end up in a position where you're overcompensating for that restriction. So when you think of it like a pendulum, if you think of a pendulum swinging side to side, that center point, that's comfortable intuitive eating. And maybe you won't eat for a little bit, so it'll swing to the one side and then you'll get hungry and you'll eat, so the pendulum will swing back to the other side a little bit. But you'll be sitting somewhere in the middle of the bottom of that swinging pendulum. Now, when you restrict food, when you say you can't eat it, or you restrict the type of food that you're allowing yourself to eat, or the amount of food that you're allowed to eat, or in this case, the hours that you're allowed to eat, that pendulum is swinging way over to the side. Way, way, way over to the side. That's big restriction. When you allow yourself to eat, that pendulum's going to come swinging through and have that same effect the other side of the pendulum. So whereas you've pulled it back and pulled it back, and then you've let it go, it's swung really far the other way, and you're going to eat, and you're going to eat and eat and eat because you've restricted for so long. And this fast swinging of the pendulum the other way, we can recognize as things like what we think of as overeating or eating lots of food that we consider to be bad food, food that we wish we had more control around, that sort of thing. I'm going to put this on my social media profiles later. I'll put a picture of this pendulum up so you can see it. Shame you can't see this in the podcast. I'm swinging my arms around all over the place demonstrating, but you can't see that. But this pendulum effect is what you get when you restrict. So let's apply that to this not eating in the evening. So you have food and you finish eating at, say, for an example's sake, let's say 6 or 7 o'clock. Let's say 7 o'clock. So you finish eating at 7 o'clock in the evening. And then the evening goes by and you're a bit peckish, but you're like, no, I'm not going to eat it. I don't want to eat. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat. And then by the time you go into bed, you're hungry and you're a little bit obsessed by the food in the cupboard because you've told yourself you can't have it. And that just makes you want it more. So by the time you go to bed, you're hungry and all you can think about is food. When you get up in the morning, you are really hungry and you've had this restriction. So that pendulum comes swinging back the other side and in the morning, maybe for breakfast, maybe through the morning, maybe lunchtime, but that day you're probably going to have some kind of compensatory behavior. You're probably going to pack more food to eat at work than you would usually, or you'll have a bigger breakfast or something along those lines. When we put that into context then, what have you actually achieved by all that restriction the night before? Other than a little bit of misery and a loss of some joy in your life. You've taken away food from the evening, but you're overcompensating that next day. So you're going to have that food at some point anyway, or maybe not that food, but other food that will make up for the food that you restricted. Does that make sense? I feel like I've waffled a little bit, but I hope you understand what I mean by that. Before we've even considered the effects that this has on the human body, you can see that that restriction is actually ultimately going to cause you to try and overcompensate. So the binge and the restrict. But why do we even do this in the first place? What do we think are the benefits to not eating in the evening? We think it will cause us to gain weight. That's a big misconception. That's a big one. It is very common that people believe that if you eat food in the evening, the calories don't get burned off and then you end up with weight gain. Now, that's not true. Firstly, ask yourself this question. Why do you need to burn those calories off? Why do you think you need to burn them off? Remember, weight gain is not as simple as calories in, calories out. Obviously, calories do contribute to weight gain or weight loss, but it's not everything that makes it up. So to put so much emphasis on the calories and eating them before you go to bed is doing your body a bit of a disservice, really, because your body's got so much more going on that controls that stuff. So you don't need to burn those calories off before you go to bed. There are lots and lots of cultures that eat later in the evening than we do in the UK. Places like Spain, they quite commonly eat in the evening, don't they? They're known for having their late leisurely dinners. And they're not the only country that do that. There are lots of countries that, because it's cooler or it's more convenient or it works around their different lifestyle and different culture behaviours, they eat later in the evening. And these people aren't necessarily more unhealthy than others. They're not necessarily fatter than others. In fact, some of these countries have been part of a study that showed that eating in their leisurely way has actually been beneficial for their health. So let's write that off as a concept. Also, think about this. Why is it not okay to eat after, say, 7 o'clock in our example, but at 6:30 it's okay? If you restrict and you stop eating at 6 o'clock, why is it okay for you to eat at 5:30, 5:45, 1 minute to six? And yet after 6 o'clock, it's absolutely no, 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 because your body can't handle it. Your body really doesn't know what time it is to that degree. We do have a circadian rhythm, which is a kind of internal body clock that knows roughly what time of day it is, roughly what your body should be doing right now. Things like our body will prepare to wake up in the morning. It will prepare to go to sleep in the evening, that sort of thing. But it doesn't know what the time is. And it doesn't know that in 15 minutes time, you need to stop eating. Actually, eating in the evening can be very beneficial to this rhythm that we've got within us. Let's look at sleep. Sleep involves lots of different hormonal processes. One of those hormones that helps us get to sleep is melatonin. That's the key hormone in the body that says it's time to go to sleep now. Melatonin is produced through this chain reaction of chemicals. And right at the beginning of that chain reaction of chemicals is carbohydrates. So carbs are very, very necessary for a good night's sleep. Without the carbs, you don't get the end result of the melatonin. Your body doesn't get told it's time to go to sleep, and it doesn't get all nice and drowsy, and off to the land of Nod you go. Without those carbs, that process is incredibly difficult. If you've restricted your food for several hours beforehand, where is your body going to get those carbs from? Maybe you have eaten plenty of carbs through the day, but what if you haven't? For some, that snacking in the evening is really beneficial. It's going to be helping to have a good night's sleep and to stay asleep. And not only is it to do with those chemicals of getting you to sleep, but who enjoys waking up starving hungry in the middle of the night? Not me, that's for sure. But that can happen if you go to bed and you haven't eaten. Your body can wake you up to try and get you to go and get some food. I don't know about you. Do you wake up in the middle of the night hungry? Do you go looking for food and then hop back into bed? It's quite common. And that's because quite often we've restricted the amount of food we can have. And then we really hinder ourselves. We stop ourselves having that good night's sleep. It's a bit of a balancing act, though, really. You do have to have a suitable amount of food. For some, having a really big meal very late can make it difficult to sleep because you're uncomfortable. I understand that. So we're obviously talking a comfortable amount of food for you. We're talking about eating mindfully, really, and having an awareness of how much food your body needs in the evening. If you know that you're going to wake up if you don't have something to eat, then why not let yourself eat? But if you know that having a big plate of food is going to give you an uncomfortable night's sleep and you're not going to sleep well, then tune into that, listen into that, and don't have a big plate of food, just have a snack. That snacking in the evening can really help to keep your body ticking over as well. For many people, they need regular intake of food. We've all got different needs, haven't we? We all eat in a different kind of way. So some people like to have 3 solid meals a day, and that's that, because that suits them. Whereas some people are grazers and will happily just graze their way through the door, just having small meals or lots of snacks. Neither is right, neither is wrong. It's just whatever suits your body, really. So to pay attention to that and honour that need for food in the evening can help to keep your body ticking over. Especially if you are in an eating disorder, it can be really helpful to eat every couple of hours, every 2 to 3 hours. Get something into your body so that you're not going long periods of time without eating. When we have eating disorders, or when we are in very disordered eating because we've been dieting for so long, it can be really difficult to hear those hunger and fullness signals and to know that you need to eat. So to get into a routine where you just have something small in the evening can be really beneficial and help your body trust that you are going to nourish it regularly. You're going to give it food. There's not going to be big periods of restriction anymore. When it comes to intuitive eating principles, let's think back to the really underpinning principles of hunger and fullness cues, satisfaction cues. If you're hungry in the evening, why are you ignoring that? If you are needing food, if your body is telling you it's hungry, why are you ignoring that? As an intuitive eater, what you're always aiming to do is to eat when your body says it needs feeding. So if in the evening you're starting to feel a bit peckish, or you're starting to fancy a little something to eat, is it so bad to honour that and eat something? Even if you're not hungry, but yet you're thinking about food and you're just constantly wanting to eat something, anything, then go ahead and eat it. I quite often have a sweet tooth in the evening. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's a habit I've got into. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just my body telling me that I need something sweet to eat. But in the evenings, I like to have something sweet to eat. By honouring that, I'm not hungry and I'm satisfied. And that's one of those other big principles in intuitive eating, isn't it? Is satisfaction. It satisfies you to eat. So even if you're not hungry, but you want something to eat, and that will satisfy you before you go to bed, then go ahead and have that food, I say. I really think the key here is how you eat, not what you eat. In the evenings, we can quite often be sat watching TV, can't we? Or maybe reading a book. Maybe that's the time we spend chatting with friends or partners or family. Whatever it is you do in the evening, that's quite often downtime, isn't it? And so we can get lost in whatever we're doing and forget about the eating. And when I say forget about the eating, I don't necessarily mean you forget to eat. I mean that when you're eating, you forget to pay attention to it. So enjoy your evenings and have food. Enjoy the snack or the meal or whatever it is you choose to eat, but eat mindfully. Remember to eat intuitively. So remember to pay attention to how you're feeling when you're eating and whether it's still satisfying you, whether you feel like you need to stop, whether you want to keep going, whether you're enjoying the food you've chosen or whether you'd rather have something else. When we get lost in whatever we're doing, we don't realise how much we're eating. And it's not that eating lots of food is an issue, but if you're eating more than you want, if you're eating more than you need to satisfy you, and if you're eating more than will make you comfortable for a good night's sleep, then that's not helping you at all either. So go ahead, have that food, just eat mindfully, pay attention, tune into your body, understand whether you're enjoying it and whether it's satisfying you or not. And that will help you, I think, make a little bit more peace with eating food in the evenings. And finally, give yourself that unconditional permission to eat. I know it sounds like a simple thing to do. I know that it's really difficult. But at the end of the day, when you give yourself that unconditional permission to eat, that eating doesn't feel like such a bad thing to do. So if today you say, I have permission to eat this evening, and then the evening comes round and you say, I have permission to eat now if I want to, then all of a sudden it's not this big deal. And it's almost saying to yourself, yeah, go on, have something to eat. As soon as you take away that permission to eat, you've put restriction in place and you've given yourself rules around food. So that permission is going to be such a big thing to do to help you to make peace with eating in the evening. Does that help? I hope so. I hope that's answered the question. We're all different, aren't we? We've all got different needs. And sometimes you've just got to say, this is what my body wants, and that is that. I mean, who are you to argue with your body? It's very, very clever. And there endeth today's lesson. Right, I better go and start planning the next year's worth of content, hadn't I? I mean, I've got to make it to the second birthday now. Right, you know where I am in between episodes? Come and join me in the Facebook group. We'll get chatting. I'm on all the social media, but come chat with me in the Facebook group. That'd be good. Links in the show notes. Also, did you know that there's a link in the show notes which will get you a free introductory guide to intuitive eating? It's a guide to the 10 principles of intuitive eating. So it'll talk you through each principle and what it means in real life. And there's a few other bits and pieces in there. But it's a handy guide because you can download it and keep it. And then when you need to go back to it, it's always there for you. It doesn't disappear. It's yours. It's a copy for you for free forever. Just go grab it. Links in the show notes. It's all yours. You know how much we loved Stevie Wonder on your way into this episode? Well, guess what? Here's a bit more. See you next week. Bye-bye.